Mark chapter 1, 40 through 42 says, "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your healing power, for your cleansing power, and for your willingness to touch what other people consider unclean, for your willingness and your availability among the neediest of people. Lord, I pray that you would find us acknowledging our need this morning, Lord. Son of David, have mercy on us this morning, Lord. Stretch out your hand in a real way, in a spiritual way this morning, Lord. Lay your hand upon each of us, Lord, we pray, for a touch from you as we look into your word, as we lean into your spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray that not a soul would remain the same, that none of us would leave here untouched, unmoved, unblessed. To that end, we pray and we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about laying on of hands, a touch from Jesus that changes everything. A quick review of last week. We looked at the Old Testament practices of laying on of hands. Primarily, we found that the single most often used practice of laying on of hands was, as we see here with this goat, was when the priests or worshipers would lay their hands on the head of a sacrifice and confess their sins, and in a spiritual way, their sins were transmitted into that sacrifice, and then the sacrifice died in their place. We said this all pointed to the future, pointed to when Jesus would come and fulfill that shadow or fulfill that time. And we see that that's was going on, and we talked last week, and if you weren't here, I'd encourage you to go to our website and listen to that message, because we talked about the great exchange, if you'll remember, that we see in the Old Testament practice, priestly practice of the scapegoat, the laying on of hands, where our sin, everything wrong in us was placed on the sacrifice, and the sacrifice shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, but then the other goat took it away. Took those sins and took that shame and just took it clean away. And we saw there's kind of a twofold thing there. There's us getting rid of something, and then there's us receiving something from the Lord. We saw that when we talked about baptism a number of weeks ago too, didn't we? That it also is a picture of this great exchange. By great exchange, you know, the Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus, was made sin or became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, there was this great exchange at the cross. God placed everything about us that's wrong, our failings, our sins, our shame, all of our mistakes, everything about us that we know is not what it should be. All that got placed upon Jesus, and he died as you, as me, at the cross, in our place, was buried, and in a very real sense, we died and were buried with him, the Bible says, because of this, and then he raised up victorious over that. Having completely paid the penalty of everything that was wrong about us, he rises from the dead, ascends back to heaven, and then sends his spirit through the preaching of the gospel and gives us, imparts to everyone who receives him, everything that's right about Jesus. So he took at the cross everything that's wrong about us to remove it, and then in his resurrection and his glorious ascension, now he pours out his life and spirit through the gospel. And as we receive him, as we receive the gospel, imparted to us is the righteousness of Jesus, so that we stand in an entirely different identity now. Isn't it glorious? It's a beautiful picture. We call it the great exchange, and you say, "Well, Pastor, you just keep talking about that." Well, listen, if you get tired of it before I do, maybe you can go listen to someone tell you how bad you are. But you can come in here, and I'm going to tell you how good Jesus is, all right? Are you with me? Jesus, the great exchange, the gospel, is the center of the entire Bible. And we'll never exhaust it. I've been preaching now in my fourth decade, and I have yet to even get close to plumbing the depths of this. I see something fresh, and this week was no exception. I hope God will bless this. So the laying on of hands in the Old Testament was more about a getting rid of what was wrong. It was transmitted in the goat. But we move into the New Testament, and we see the practice of laying on hands. And it's first demonstrated in the life and the ministry of Jesus after he began his public ministry. And we read, as we read just a moment ago, about the leper that came and was pleading with Jesus, if you just lay your hand on me, I know I can be cleansed. I know I can be healed. And he's requiring it. Now see, here's the thing that a lot of us maybe didn't understand about, and it's clearly expressed in the Old Testament, but there were laws related to lepers. An infectious skin disease. Not very infectious, actually. It's not highly infectious at all, but it in the day was incurable. It's curable today through a cocktail of different medicines. It can be cured. But the thing about leprosy is it makes you numb. A lot of people don't understand that. They just think it's like an infection. But what leprosy is, it attacks your nerve endings and makes you incapable of feeling. And thus, because you don't have pain, you harm yourself and you don't know you're harming yourself. You cut your finger off and you don't even know you've cut your finger off till later and you see the blood. You don't have pain. And so they end up injuring themselves in any number of ways. We don't realize what a blessing pain actually is because it brings to our attention something that's harmful. And if you've never felt any pain, you're in a tough place. Well, it's not just physical pain that we as humans experience, is it? Matter of fact, I can deal with the physical pain a lot easier than some of this interior stuff. That's the real tough stuff. Matter of fact, sometimes we'll harm ourselves outwardly because of what's going on inside. So we come to this situation, and a leper was considered unclean, not because he or she had sinned, not because they had committed adultery or stolen or lied or killed. They were considered unclean because of an infection, of something they had that they couldn't get rid of, that made them repulsive to themselves and made them repulsive to people around them. And so they ended up living isolated lives. I'm going to get up in your business today, okay? This because you say, well, why did they have laws that made these lepers have to stay out by themselves and all that? Because all of the Old Testament is just exposing reality. It's showing us sin and all of its effects in our lives so that when we get to the New Testament, we're ready for the solution. Because the reality is, we all know something about leprosy. It's not an outside thing. We all know something about leprosy. So things about us that we know, and maybe a few people know, and the fewer people that we let know, the better, because we already don't like ourselves. We don't like this about us, and we know if you know that about me, you won't like me either. And that's where this guy was. But he was so desperate, had been living isolated for so long, away from family, away from home, couldn't go to the synagogue. They couldn't even go and offer sacrifices. Now, it's presumed that the Day of Atonement, that sacrifice was okay, applied to these lepers too. But a leper couldn't even come to the temple with a sacrifice until he was clean. In other words, got to clean yourself up first. And once you get yourself clean, now you can come up in here. Ever heard that? Ever heard your own heart say, if I could just be better, if I could just do better, if I could just show somebody that I've made a difference, and we want to change, and we think God's love for us is conditioned upon us changing first. More times than I can count, I've invited people to church and say, oh, pastor, if I came up in that church, the lightning would strike. If I came up in there, the walls would fall in. What's he saying? He's saying, if you knew what I know about me and what I know God knows, and I came up in there acting like I was holy, acting like I was clean, I'd get struck by lightning. Well, first off, if God was looking for a reason to strike you with lightning, looking for a reason to judge you, he'd already had plenty. He'd have done a long time ago. But he'd been patient. He's not looking for a reason to strike you. Matter of fact, he provided a reason so he didn't have to. He struck his own son at the cross. So what that shows is a leper mindset that I've got to clean myself up before I can come. But the truth is, lepers never could heal themselves. We can't heal ourselves. You'll never get yourself clean enough that you can come to the Lord. You have to come as you are. And here he was so desperate, this leper came to Jesus. And he knew he was asking him to do what the law said he couldn't do. The law said anyone who touched a leper received the leper's uncleanness. See, that's the way the things in the Old Testament flowed. Unclean things always made clean things dirty. You come in contact with something unclean, it transmits to you. And so even priests, if a priest touched a leper, they became ceremonially unclean until they could wash, take their clothes off, wash their clothes, and still remain unclean till after dark. And so he's asking Jesus to touch him, to heal him, to cleanse him. And yet he knows that if Jesus does this by the law, he would be considered unclean, that his uncleanness would transfer into this clean one. But Jesus reversed it all, didn't he? See the great exchange. Not only does Jesus remove what's wrong in us, but then his power transmits his cleanness back. His cleanness overcomes it all. See? Overcomes all sin and all uncleanness. And then not only overcomes it, not only removes it, forgives it, but then in place of it, gives the very opposite, gives righteousness and wholeness. See, some of us have been healed, but we're not whole yet. Some of us have been forgiven, but we're not whole. We know Jesus has forgiven us, but we still feel estranged on the inside. We still know there's brokenness. There's stuff in us that we haven't got peace with yet. Maybe it's stuff that's still active, that we're acting out. Maybe it's just stuff from the past that we have so much shame with. That's what this is getting to today. Jesus comes and reverses the flow. He reverses the flow. Now, the unclean ones can get rid of it and they can receive cleanness. So when this high priest touches you, like we see on the right here, when Jesus touches, it's going to flow from Jesus to the leper. It's not going from the leper to Jesus. Are you got me? So Jesus is not afraid to come into contact with you, friend. He's not afraid. He's not intimidated. He's got what it takes to transmit to you everything you need to change you. Now that's the gospel. I don't know if you've heard it like that, but that is the gospel. If you haven't heard it like that, well, welcome to the gospel, friend, because this is what it is. Jesus is in the business of changing lives, and he has the power to do it. And he's walking among us this morning. He's moving up and down these pews by his Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Amen. All right, let's look at another example here. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And we'll take a moment here and read this text, or part of this text, and then we'll finish it in just a minute. Mark chapter 5, just a few verses forward there. I don't have it on the slide. Mark 5, 24. We'll read through 29 to begin with. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. So by this time, Jesus' miracles and his preaching, people were coming from all over Israel. I mean, from multiple cities and regions. I mean, there's a massive crowd, most of which didn't know one another. It's just a massive crowd. A lot of them were strangers to one another. So that's what's happening here. This large crowd is pressing in on him. Verse 25, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. In this situation, we see a woman who, much like a leper, according to ceremonial law in the Old Testament, would have been considered unclean because of this chronic flow, this chronic bleeding. It rendered her unclean until such time that the bleeding stopped. And at that point, then 7 days she would wait. On the 8th day, she could go to the temple, present a sacrifice, go to the tent of meeting, present a sacrifice, and then she would be clean. Anyone who came into contact with her while she was in this condition would be considered unclean. Anything she touched would be considered unclean. If you came and sat in the chair after she sat in the chair, not only did the chair become unclean, but you came unclean. So we see this same thing. The uncleanness is getting transmitted to the clean things. And you say, well, that's so cruel. That it seems cruel that there would be a law that said she would be considered unclean. Or a man, if a man was bleeding, if a man had a hemorrhage or a wound that was oozing, it's the same thing. Same law. You say, that seems unfair. Well, see, it does seem, maybe perhaps you're in your mind, you think, that just seems cruel to keep people isolated like that. Well, listen, here's the reality. People isolate themselves already. We isolate. See, we don't have that law, do we? But we live very isolated. I mean, you might be sitting up in here with us today. I might be sitting up in here. But there may be a whole world of things on the inside of me that nobody knows about. And I put on masks and I pretend I'm something that I'm not, or just pretend so that you won't see what's really in my past. Or if you only knew what I did, I wouldn't be accepted here. And we think things like that. So the reality is we carry this uncleanness. To see her again, there's no mention really of sin here. Now, was she a sinner? I'm sure she was a sinner, just like us. But that wasn't the issue. It was something that rendered her in a state of repulsiveness to herself and others. Or perceived, at least. She perceived it that way. And she's no stranger to this. You may not be a chronic bleeder, but you're a chronic something. We all are. We all have been. And if you're not today, and you're truly not, it's for one reason only. Because the power of the living Jesus has been allowed to touch those areas in your life to bring some healing. Amen? Well, I'll confess that. Anything about me that's healthier than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's because, only because, I finally quit hiding and quit trying to handle it myself, clean myself up, and I let Jesus have it. And I feel that so powerfully in me. He's the only one big enough. And not only is he big enough, he's more than loving enough and approachable enough, my friend. Don't you doubt it. Everybody else may turn away. Jesus will not. His touch is there. He's ready. He's ready. He's moving in here right now. He's at Mama's. She would have lived by this time after all these years spending all she had. She was no doubt living alone. Maybe if she'd had a husband, he may have had to divorce her or would have divorced her. Can't touch her. Can't take care of her children. All these things. I mean, she was in a very isolated, lonely place, feeling like worthless, feeling like she had nothing to contribute. So she was hiding within the crowd. She'd heard about Jesus, and she'd heard he was touching untouchables, that he was healing people that no one else could heal. And she heard about him, and she thought, if I could just get close, if I just touch the hem of his garment. You've probably heard sermons on this many times, but let me just assume we're not all on the same page here. Why this touch the hem of his garment? Because of this whole thing about uncleanness. And if you touch someone, if you're unclean, it transmits uncleanness to them. And she was coming by stealth. Because if I come right up, and anybody who knows me, now most of the people in the crowd don't know me, so I'm kind of hiding and blending. But if anybody here knows me and knows my situation, they'll call me out and say, don't touch the teacher, don't touch the rabbi, you'll make him unclean. Rabbi, she's unclean. So she's coming in the press, in the crowd. She's probably got her parka on. She's coming in low. She's coming in. No one can see her. And I'm just going to touch him as a garment. He's not even going to know it. But her faith was so strong that there was something about this prophet, this Messiah from Nazareth. She had heard the story. She'd heard it. Had some hope. Maybe for the first time in a long time. And if I can just sneak in, I can sneak out. As she comes in, touches the hem of his garment. And it says, immediately. I love Mark's gospel because he uses that word over and over. Immediately. Immediately she felt in her body that she was made whole. She felt something. The touch of the hem of his garment, something had come into her. And then Jesus stops the procession, didn't he? Look with me here in beginning with verse 30 again. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? It was kind of like, Jesus, come on. Are you serious? Everybody's trying to touch you. What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? And it says, verse 32, and he looked around to see the woman who had done this. He knew who it was, see? Verse 33, but the woman, now catch this, fearing and trembling, she's caught. She's just made the rabbi unclean, perhaps, in her mind, see? She's found out. Her shame is exposed. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. My question is, why didn't he just let her slip away? I don't think he did anything wrong. He did it perfectly, but follow me along this, because it helps us get somewhere we need to be. Why didn't he just let her slip away? Why didn't he let her slip away an anonymity so it didn't draw attention to her and she wouldn't be exposed, she wouldn't be embarrassed in any way. Why didn't he just let her slip away with her healing? Because she would have went away with her healing, but she wouldn't be whole. She would have had the outside fixed. But the stuff on the inside, even though she might not be unclean anymore, all the stuff that had happened, all the hurt she had caused, all the rejection she had experienced, all the stuff that was broken, all the shame labels would still be in there barking at her. It had been so long. That's the way she saw herself. She would have went away healed but not whole. Like most Christians, we receive forgiveness of sins and we're forgiven, but we're not deeply cleansed yet. Are you not a Christian? No, you're a Christian on your way to heaven. But many of us, we've experienced forgiveness outwardly, but we still, if we're honest, we still have all of this unresolved things going on in our lives. Even the most acclimated, even the most celebrated among us. Are you hearing me? It's true. I mean, all you got to do, you worship a pastor, you worship some Christian leader, you wait long enough, sometimes you'll get embarrassed. We get embarrassed. Gentlemen, a year or two back, Robbie Zacharias, who many of you may have heard of, wonderful Christian evangelist. And then the stuff comes out after his death, and it's embarrassing. And I didn't know what to do with it. And now I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, he went away healed, but he wasn't whole. He never really trusted the love of Jesus enough to stay long enough in the presence of Jesus. So some of this stuff, bit by bit, day by day, piece by piece, could be healed. And it's a lifelong process. It's not like it's just a one-time deal. Although some amazing things can happen in just a moment in the presence of Jesus. But it's a process of us trusting Him enough that we let Him deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in. So He didn't just let her go away. There was a great exchange that was going to happen. Not only in that moment, but at the cross later. But it's not just Him taking something off the outside. He knew she needed something imparted into the inside. She needed to hear something. She needed to realize something about His heart and mind for her that she didn't know in herself. She could be healed. She could be forgiven. But she needed a new identity. She needed to understand an entire new way of looking at herself. Are you with me? She needed a new identity. So what happens next is really, really vital. We see it says in the next verse, you know, she came and told Him the whole truth there in verse 33, and then 34 says, and He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Can you imagine? Here she is now, exposed, because there's a crowd around. How many people could hear it? I don't know, but the immediate people could hear this conversation going on. And she tells the whole truth. How does Mark know to write these things down about her bleeding and her doctors and all this stuff, all her money gone? Because she tells it all. She brings it out. All those years of isolation, all those years of bondage. And she brings it out in the presence of Jesus. Primarily, don't miss that. This is about being in the presence of Jesus. But it's also about the role, I think, as in the New Testament, it's also about the role that some people who are in touch with Jesus, who have experienced some of this healing, some of this wholeness, about the role that we can play in one another's life. You say, what does all this have to do with the laying on of hands? Let me tell you what it has to do with the laying on of hands. Because when someone who is convinced that Jesus can help you not just outwardly but inwardly, and believes it and has experienced themselves, you may have just baby faith. You may not even know how deeply you need it. But some of us who've experienced it and are experiencing it know how deep it needs to go. And we can pray compassionately. That's part of what laying on of hands. We'll talk more about it in the weeks to come, but it's just like laying hands on is part of us helping one another understand, no, this is for you. Yes, His love is real. It's tangible. He's here, and not physically now. He was physically there, but now He's here spiritually, but He's in His people, and we're telling you, His touch is healing you. You are His daughter. He called her daughter in front of all these people who called her what? Unclean. They called her unclean. He called her daughter. daughter of the Most High, daughter of the Lord of heaven and earth. He called me daughter. He calls me his son. Let me tell you, when the King of Glory calls you his child, it changes everything. It changes everything. The way you see yourself, the way you see the world, the way you relate to your past, the way you are able to relate to your future. When you hear him call your name and call you his beloved. And folks, there's no substitute for this. And as we'll see next week, we're going to talk more about the laying on of hands and how the ministry of the Holy Spirit can be confirmed and stirred up and kind of watered and flourished in our lives through the laying on of hands. And part of that involves how the Holy Spirit wants to, on the inside of us, begin to bear witness to our sonship, our daughterhood. He wants to do that. He's doing that maybe right now in your hearts. You know, it's not about the actual laying on of hands. Let me just say that. Because the leper, you know, he said, if you lay your hands on me, I'll be whole. This woman thought, I don't want to ask him to lay my hands on me because I'll get in trouble. So she said, I don't really need his hands because he's so holy. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be close enough to get to touch. But you know, the Roman centurion, Jesus was going to go to his house and lay his hands on his servant. And the Roman centurion said to Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house, Jesus. Just say the word. Your word is so powerful. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, now, I've not found such great faith. You're right. By the Spirit, my presence is already there. I don't need to physically be there. But sometimes the physical helps us, doesn't it? It helps us understand the tangibility. But it's not necessary. It's not about the physical. And people who make it all about the physical, they're getting off in the weeds. It's about the Lord himself coming up on the inside of us and beginning to speak to our hearts and telling us who we are now in the great exchange. Are you with me? And he's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter. What do you mean? Did you notice his back was turned to her? She didn't even ask him, is it your will? If you will, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That's what the leper said, remember? If you're willing, kind of, he wasn't sure. And Jesus said, I am willing. This lady was even past that. She knows he's willing. Something in her knew, if I can just get close enough, it'll flow to me. Let me tell you, that's the way it is. And you don't have to get to him. He's already gotten to you. You don't have to go anywhere. He's here. He's there in your bedroom. He's there in your truck cab as you're driving down the road. He can be found anywhere there's an open heart. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. I told this story a few months ago here. A guy named Ben Hooper, he was a former governor of Tennessee. I just want, some of y'all may remember the story, I told it, but Ben was a boy who grew up, didn't know who his daddy was. And this was like early 1900s. And because of that, he had an orphan mindset, a rejection mindset. His idea of who he was very confused, because he didn't know who his daddy was, and that day it was scorned upon. Someone, you know, was pregnant outside of marriage or whatever, and here's a illegitimate. See, we say illegitimate child. In his mind, he was illegitimate, because the world would put that on you. He was like a leper. Even if outwardly he had some kind of acceptance, inwardly there was still that huge question mark. There was still that stuff telling him he was a mess. He wasn't worthy. He wasn't acceptable. He was to be ashamed. And he begins to hear about a preacher and starts having some interest in the gospel. And so he slips into this church, slips in on the back, or he waits till everybody's there. It comes in late. And he would leave early. Before he had to talk to anybody. See, just like the woman, slipping in the crowd, thinking she can get in and out without notice. That's what he's doing. Why? Because he's just like her. He's just like you and me. And that would happen day after day. Well, Ben, this is his own testimony. He said, I think he was like 9 years old, 10 years old. And one day he said he got so caught up listening to the good news that he kind of lost track of his plan to get out, you know, to hide, to get gone, to stay hidden. And the preacher was at the door before he could slip out. Now, I know some of y'all try to avoid me, too. I know it. That's okay. It's all right. Because we're all in this together. This is real. This is where we live. You know, the Bible gets into our business. Can I hear an amen? It gets into our business. Gets into my business. And so before Ben could get out, the pastor was there, and he put his hand on his shoulder, And he says, "Hi, son." He said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Ben." And he says, "The pastor doesn't recognize, doesn't know the boy." He said, "Ben, who's your daddy?" And Ben tells the story. He said, the one question that just demoralized me, that haunted me, I didn't have an answer for that. And he said, if there was one question that could be asked that would just expose my shame, that was it. Right there. Several people around. And now he's like the woman before. And the pastor, by God's grace, I'm sure the Spirit of God was working in his life, the pastor could see. He goes, "Oh, wait a minute. I know who your daddy is. I know who you're the son of." And the boy's thinking, "Does he know something? I don't know. He didn't know his daddy was." He goes, "I see the family likeness." And the boy's going, he goes, "Well, you're a son, Ben. You're a son. You're a son of the living God." He spoke that to him. And Ben gives his testimony. He said, something changed. Something touched him. And he said, "I walked out that door differently than I came in." Because he understood he was a child of the living God through Jesus. And that forever began to reframe the way he looked at himself, the way he looked inside, and the way he looked outside. Child of the living God, touched by the Lord. The Lord's word through his servant, through another human who understood these things. They're touching him, speaking to him, helped him. We can help one another. When I'm struggling, maybe in an insecurity, maybe in one of these shame label kind of things, and it's still, and if I got somebody that understands, I can pray, you can pray for me, and there's just a stirring up of encouragement and affirmation where I'm like, that's what I'm doing today. I'm telling you, you're a child of the living God. I don't care what the devil says about you. I don't care what your past says about you. And some of you still think, and it's been coming up in your mind as I've been preaching, these things that have labeled you. Mistakes, things that have happened, abuse, things you wish you could change. And still, to some degree, maybe every day is barking at you, telling you. But only by not only letting Jesus forgive us of our sin, but letting Jesus then begin to speak into our hearts, tell us who we are. Beloved. Forever beloved. Forever completely forgiven. Never to be rejected again. Completely on the inside. First class. God has only one kind of kid. That's first class. There is no second class child of God. You understand that? Oh, we got all kinds of classes, don't we? First class. Child of the living God. Accepted in the beloved. That's the only kind he has. So Ben Hooper went on and became increasingly someone who walked with the Lord. And the boldness and the freedom he began to experience. He became a multi-term governor of the good state of Tennessee. And then late in his life, this story came out. He's telling a pastor. It's a book I read where Ben Hooper tells his story to a pastor. It's a beautiful picture that could be your story as well. Okay, so we're going to land this plane. Most of us are loaded down with all kinds of baggage. To some degree, we're still carrying around an unclean inheritance. Whatever it was, something somebody did that exposed you, that hurt you, something that put a shadow on you, or maybe your own experience, maybe something you did that affected all these things and everything else. We carry this baggage. And I've been on planes before when we couldn't take off, and the pilot said, "We're still waiting to confirm that the owners of bags that have been loaded are on board." Now, trust me, we want them to do that because we don't want the terrorist to get a bag on the plane when the terrorist is not on the plane. We don't want somebody putting a bag in and say, "You know, I'm not going. I got my phone. Are you with me?" But they say, well, see, that's the thing. There is baggage that needs to be identified. Now, it goes two ways. There's old luggage that has to do with the shame labels, that have to do with all the stuff that was wrong about you, that you may still be freighting around. And that stuff needs to be identified, and it needs to be offloaded. It needs to be identified and put away. But listen, it's hard to put something away to create a vacuum if you don't have something to replace it. Nature abhors a vacuum, and so does your heart. So does your mind. Then there's other luggage. Let's call it an inheritance. Call it rich heavenly gifts about who you now are in Jesus. What the Father says about who He has made you to be, that needs to be embraced. needs to be carried with you every moment of the day, because it's actually already true of you. It's already true, but you're not benefiting of it because you haven't really embraced it, even though it's yours. He's not going to give it to you. He already did if you're his child. And so we got to deal with the old luggage, get it put off. Therefore, put off the old man, Paul says, and put on the new man. Remember him saying that? That's what he's talking about. This is the great exchange. It's like, okay, the great exchange happened, so now I need to live in the exchanged life. Now I've got to practically play a role in this. It's like, he's done it, so now Jesus, show me. Okay, help me get honest. Help me get real about this stuff that I wish I would make believe it never happened, it could go away. No, you're probably going to have to bring it in the light, like the woman. Bring it to the light before Jesus and just call it what it is. Tell him what it is. But then, be listening to hear what he says to you. And he's going to tell you what he told her. You're clean. He told the leper, you're clean. You're clean. That's not you anymore. Daughter, you're my daughter. Now go in my shalom. Go in my peace. Go in the fullness of peace and inheritance and blessedness. And we hear that, and not just one time, but day after day after day. And slowly but surely, we began to walk in this more and more effectively, more and more fully. Usually it doesn't all happen just like that, though there are breakthroughs. Some of you may have a breakthrough this morning. There's like some things that have happened that's going to be with you. But you're still going to have to, those old thoughts are going to try to creep back. And you're going to have to say, no, that's not who I am. What baggage are you still carrying that needs to be unloaded, offloaded? It's probably been coming to your mind. Just give it to Jesus. He's not ashamed of it. He's not embarrassed by it. And he's certainly not intimidated by it. There's worse junk by far. Trust me. Worse stuff by far that's already been removed from the souls of men and women. Long past. By the hundreds of millions of people. Billions by now. Billions of people. It's just been, Jesus just taking it away. And you can walk in this newness of life. It's for you, my friend. It's for you. It's got your name on it. But it's not going to be done by you trying to do it yourself. It's you giving it to Jesus. Everything you let Jesus touch can be healed. All the labels, stains, wounds, failures, addictions that still want to own you, still want to define you, still want to control and keep you hiding and isolated and keep you numb like a leper. Keep you numbing yourself to pretend it's not there. Self-medicating, using any number of things to make yourself numb. So just kind of survive another day, another week. You don't have to go on like that. Jesus really can free his sons and daughters to walk in their inheritance. Amen. Tell it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to sing a song together.
By a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me.
Our Father, we thank you for your love for us, for the touch of Jesus, for the reality of the great exchange, and for your healing power and your transforming, cleansing grace. Lord, I pray for each of us today, as we've heard you speak to our hearts, Lord, I pray that each of us will find a quiet place. And Lord, reach out and reach up, reach in to you, Lord. And Lord, as we do, pray also that you would help us in boldness begin to find another trusted friend or two in Christ that we can begin to process, we can begin to testify, we can begin to encourage in our faith one to another as we move into all the fullness that you have for us. Dismiss us in peace now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.